Do you like the sound of the rain on the tin roof? It's great, isn't it? Can't wait to get home and have an afternoon snooze. It's one of the benefits of growing old. Anyone have an afternoon? Who has an afternoon snooze on a Sunday? Yeah. If you don't, you soon will. Catches up with all of us. It's a good deal. It's just to rest. The Bible says rest in the Lord. It's actually a scriptural thing to do, to rest. A few things I want to draw to your attention that are coming up in church life. In a few weeks' time, we've got our Leaders Equip Night on, and we want to invite all of those that are serving in a team, that are team leaders, directors. If you're involved in a team anywhere in the life of our church, then these nights are a priority. So it's on in about 3 weeks' time on a Wednesday night. We meet here for an hour and a half, and it's my opportunity to talk to you about serving and leadership and culture and building together the kind of church that we are building. If you're not involved in a team and you want to come along, you're certainly welcome to come along and enjoy the night with us as we talk about some of those leadership issues. The other big news is the Circle Maker program. There's a little card like this that you can get at the table down the back, just in front of the sound desk. There's a table set up with Connect Group sign on it. Circle Maker is a program we're going to run through our Connect Groups through term four. It's a program from Pastor Mark Batterson in the United States of America. We used his program earlier in the year through Connect Groups for our All In program that we ran. And so we're doing the prayer one. It's called The Circle Maker. And it's all about learning to pray circles around the promises of God. Praying circles around your greatest fears and also your greatest dreams. And so it's about teaching us to pray as a church and also as individuals. So we want to invite you, if you're not currently a part of a Connect Group, to sign up for a Connect Group near your home that you can be involved in over term four and hopefully into the future of 2019. So I want to invite you to go to the table just in front of the sound desk at the conclusion of the service. Grab one of these cards, sign up for a Connect Group. Make sure you're ready to rock and roll. Don't leave it to the last moment to get involved in what we're doing together with the Circle Maker program. It also leads into just heightening the awareness of prayer in the life of our church. We're going to do a week, 1 week, 7 days of prayer and fasting. Who loves fasting? Yeah, you lie. Prayer and fasting for 1 week just before, it's the week preceding our vision offering that is in October, towards the end of October. So from 21 to 27 of October, we'll be having that special week of prayer and fasting. Today we're going to continue talking about prayer. You've got to promise me you're not going to go to sleep. It's Sunday morning, it's raining, it's a little bit cooler, so all the ingredients are working against us, so I'm watching you today. And you've got to help me, because I know I've been there, I've sat where you've sat, and I've heard the pastor announce he's going to preach on prayer, and everybody gets that glazed look on their face straight away. Because you think, I got this covered, I'm good at that. Just turn to your neighbour and say, no, you're not. No, you're not. We've got to get a whole lot better. And we want to help inspire and encourage each other to learn how to pray better. So the title of my sermon today, we've got a new bit of technology on stage too, and I've had about 2 second instructions on using this, so chances of this going real bad are real high. So we'll see how we go over this long weekend. So Hallowed Be Thy Name is the title of what we're talking about today. Hallowed be thy name. How's that? James 5, verse 16 says, when a believing person prays, say this with me, great things happen. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Any believing people in the room today, lift up your hand if you're a believing person. When you pray, great things. Notice it doesn't say, when the pastor prays, great things. People think that. People ring me up and say, Pastor, can you please pray? Yes, I can, but I pray no better than you pray. I don't have a special ranking with God. I don't have like airspace in his mind any more than you do. Of course we pray for needs. Of course we'll pray for people's circumstances and situations. But it says when a believing person prays, don't touch the touch screen, Tony. great things happen. The goal of preaching about prayer for a few weeks is simply this. It's to help us to learn to pray better. Help us to learn to pray better. To inspire some people simply to pray. Because it's so easy not to pray. It's so easy just to get on with your day. And I want to theme this thought in our church with the concept of learning to pray first. Pray first. Pray first about everything big that you do. Pray about everything little that you do. For the mums and you're sending your kids off to school, or you're sending your husband off to work or whatever, or you're going off to work yourself. Pray. Pray. Here's the deal. If you don't pray for them, no one else is going to. So pray. Pray over your children. Pray over your family. Pray over your job, your career, your business, your faith, your relationships, your church. Pray first and pray over everything. I want to help us to learn to make prayer something we enjoy, not endure. Because I've certainly had seasons where I've endured it and not enjoyed it. And I want to enjoy it, not endure it. If I'm going to endure it, I'm not going to do it. I want to enjoy it so I love it. Anyone else want to do that? I want to do that when it comes to prayer. I want to see prayer become a delight, not just a discipline. It is a discipline, but also to make it a delight. Something that you delight in. The Bible says, delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So delighting in God is something that we do in prayer, something that's very powerful and releases the hand of God on our lives. I want to revisit the thought from last week that I shared that was this, that I think a lot of us would enjoy prayer a whole lot more if we just learned to do it throughout the day at random times and random moments rather than putting all those moments together into one big block. I've tried and done for many years the 1 hour prayer model and been successful at it to a degree and ticked it off every day and thought, well, that's it. I've talked to God all I have to. I don't have to talk to Him anymore today and just get on with my life. And I've done that, and a lot of people do that. I'm not sure that's actually how Jesus ever intended us to pray. I think Jesus just intended for us to be in a sense of constant communication with God. When Jesus Himself was asked the question by the disciples, would you teach us how to pray, Jesus? He didn't sit them down and give them a discourse and a teaching that taught them how to pray for 3 hours. He gave them a very simple prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. You know the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It's very simple. We sang it just before. It only takes about 10 seconds to recite the Lord's Prayer. And that was Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God Himself, teaching the disciples how to pray. So I don't want to make this complicated. I think if we make it complicated, we just lose people. I want to have us on a journey of delight. I want to have us on a journey of enjoyment, not a journey of enduring and not a journey of just it being a discipline, but something that is actually rewarding and helpful to us. I want to go to the shallow end of the pool, like I keep saying, or I want to put all the cookies or the biscuits on the bottom level, on the bottom row, so we can all enjoy them. Don't you hate it when it's just out of reach of where you're at and you can't participate and you can't own it and you can't live in the moment because it's too complicated? So we're going to refuse to do that today. Last week we talked about Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, one of the great prayers of the Bible, where he prayed a very simple prayer model, which has four components to it, four parts to a prayer model that we looked at, where Jabez prayed, God bless me, God would you enlarge me, would you be with me, and would you keep me? Bless me, enlarge me, be with me, and keep me. So we broke it down to bless me so that I can live to be a blessing to others. Show me your purpose so that I can live a life bigger than my own. And then God be with me as I travel because this journey is too big for me. And then finally, Lord, strengthen me and protect me from every attack of the enemy. That's a good model of prayer. Another model of prayer that I've used over the years, and this is many years ago when I was a youth pastor and I used to teach our youth group to pray and we had prayer nights, it was called the Wild Prayer Strategy. The W stood for worship. It'd go for an hour because everything had to go for an hour in those days or you weren't praying properly. So it'd start with worship, first of all. So we'd put on a CD and just fill the place with worship and 15 minutes just have praise and worship playing and be singing along with Darlene Check and whoever else was leading the worship in those days. And then the second component, I, was for intercession, where we'd intercede on behalf of our leaders, our governments, our pastors, our church leaders, our community leaders, our parents, and pray for all the leadership structures throughout life for 15 minutes. Then for the next 15, the L would stand for loosing, where it would be loosing the blessing of God and just praying the miraculous supernatural power of God into life and life areas. And then D was for declarations, where we declare the name of the Lord for 15 minutes. And so that's a good model. It's an hour model, wild. Worship, intercession, loosing, and declaring. Today we're going to look at a different model altogether. But here's the big question. Why should God answer our prayers? Why should God answer our prayers? Because I'm not praying unless He's answering. You don't want to talk just for the sake of talking, do you? When you talk to God, you want to know He's listening and you want to know He answers. And so the question is, why should God answer our prayers? Does He answer our prayers because we came to church today? Does He answer our prayers because we gave in the offering and we tithe and we do that consistently? Does He answer our prayers because He knows our hearts are right and good and pure and our intentions are healthy? Why does God answer our prayers? It's a good question. Here's the answer. God answers prayers based on who He is, not on who we are. Based on who He is, not on who we are. Therefore, it has little to do with me and a whole lot to do with God. All it says I have to be is a believing person that cries out to God in faith, knowing He is the one who has the answers and brings the answers for our life. Here's a thought. The Bible teaches this, that every prayer in the Bible starts by focusing on who God is. Every prayer in the Bible starts by focusing on who God is. It's based on the nature and the character of God. For instance, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's where Jesus starts it, about reverencing and worshipping the name of God. Today I want to talk to you about prayer and the nature and the character of God. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the names of God. Now this is what Paul says about the names of God. He says He has been given a name. He's been given a name. He's been given a name that is above every other name. He's been given an authority, a position, a place of governance over our world and over our lives that's above everything. So every label that you've been labeled with, every name that comes against you, every weapon formed against you, every enemy, every season, every circumstance, and every situation stops and bows to the name of Jesus is what Paul says. So when it comes to the names of God, they're called the covenant names of God that are reflected to us in the stories of the Old Testament and the accounts of the Old Testament, in God's dealings with mankind, men like Abraham, our great father of faith. And there's 8 covenant names that are in the Old Testament. All 8 of them are included in one little psalm. It's your favorite psalm. I'm telling you what your favorite psalm is. It's your favorite psalm, and this is it, Psalm 23. Let me read it to you and see if you can pick up the covenant names that are in this psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Oh, shouldn't go there. "My cup runs over." We missed a verse. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, you may not have noticed the 8 covenant names of God in that reading because I read it really fast. But if you slow it down, if you study it and think about it and contemplate it intentionally, they pop out for us. And so today what I want to do is use and present to you a tool on how to pray the promises of these covenant names of God over your life. The Bible says this, it says the righteous run into the name of the Lord. The righteous run into the name of the Lord and they are safe. Who wants to be safe? There's a place to run. There's a place to hide. And the psalmist says it's that name of the Lord that we run into that is our safety net, our safety place. Sorry, these are way out of order, guys. The Lord is my shepherd is my first point. If you could find it for me, Harrison. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, verse 1. I'm going to ignore that, Dale, if you guys can fix that up for me. Psalm 23, 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice this, it says he's my shepherd. Would you say those words, my shepherd? He's my shepherd. He's not a shepherd. He is my shepherd. Here the psalmist reflects the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him. It's a personal, intimate fellowship and connection and relationship that he wants us to have, that he would be our shepherd. It's the covenant name, Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Everyone go, Ra, Ra. It's the Lord my shepherd. It's that sense of God being my pastor. My pastor. You know, everybody needs a pastor. Everybody needs a church that they come to, like this one that you come to, that you belong to, where you have a pastor or pastors that care for you and that watch over your souls. That's what the Bible says we are to do. And in the name Jehovah Ra, the implication and the picture and the thought is that Jesus is for us that one that watches over our souls. He is that intimate shepherd that will be there to take care of us, to lead us and to guide us. He's actually the chief shepherd. He's above every other shepherd that there is. He says in John 10:14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. So when it comes to prayer, you can begin by praying just that name of God, the Lord is my shepherd. And if you can't remember the covenant name, it doesn't matter in terms of Jehovah Ra, but you just remember the thought, thank you God, you're my shepherd today. Thank you God, today you're watching over my soul. Thank you God, you're caring for me. Thank you God, you know me. Thank you God, you know what goes on in my world and my life and my heart and my soul and my mind today. And you care and you notice and you watch and you guide and you lead and you shepherd me. See, when you're praying, you're just talking to God, and here what you're doing is you're declaring that promise of the covenant name of God over your world and over your life. The second name of God mentioned in thought in Psalm 23 is the Lord my provider. This is one we all love. The Lord my provider, where it says in verse 1, I shall not want. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. One other version of the Bible says this. It says, I have all I need. I have all that I need. So when you pray, the covenant name for this aspect of the nature and character of God is this. It's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. We used to sing it. We used to love it, but we're not going to sing it again. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, my God, shall supply all of my needs. So here's the Bible teaching. Don't trust in riches. Don't trust in riches. Trust in the one who richly provides for you. Trust in the one who richly provides for you. Work hard, invest strategically, earn a living. But don't trust in that, because you won't just have money, money will have you. Our heart needs to lean into heaven, lean into God, make sure our treasures are in heaven, and lean into the one who gives richly, not the riches that we have or that we possess or our bank balance or our investment portfolio. We lean our hearts into heaven, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. So once again, when you're praying, take some time to pray this name. Jehovah Jireh, you're the one that provides for me. You meet all my needs, and I have everything that I need, and I shall not want. So when I'm out of work, I'm praying and I'm believing for God to break through, and I'm declaring this over my life. You're the one that provides for me, God. You're the one that opens doors for me. You promised to open the windows of heaven for me. And you pray the promise, the nature, and the character of God over your heart. Paul says it this way in Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all of my needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So God meets my needs, he is my supply, he is my source, and he is my provider. The third covenant name in Psalm 23 is the Lord my peace. The Lord my peace, in verse 2, where it says he makes me. Notice those words. God will make you if you don't do it. He will make you do it. It says, he makes me to lie down. lie down or be laid out. This is the thought. Lie down or be laid out. God will make you do it if you don't do it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. It's a covenant name, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. As Pastor Marichelle preached a few weeks ago when we were away on holidays, she said, peace is not a, peace is a person. That's what peace is, a person. It's the presence of God himself in your zone, in your space, in your world, and in your life. So peace is, it's not just the name of God. Peace is actually the character of God and the nature of God. He is called the Prince by Isaiah, the Prince of Peace, which is a beautiful promise because, you know, life is filled with so much stress, so much stress. So much stress in life, so much stress in finances, so much stress in health, stress in relationships, stress in family, stress in work. We're surrounded by stress. Here it says God will lead me and he will make me lie down and rest. Jesus put it this way. He said to his disciples, I'm leaving you with a gift. A gift. He says it's peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart, and peace, my peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. So take some time every day just to pray about the peace of God. Thank you, Father, that you are my peace. You're my perfect peace. You're the Prince of Peace. You give me peace in my stress, peace in my relationships, peace in my money, peace in my health today. I'm praying peace over my world. I'm praying peace over my life. I'm going to take some time just to lay down in green pastures today and enjoy the peace that you bring and that you give unto me. The next covenant name is the Lord my healer. The Lord my healer. In verse 3 it says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. And to learn to pray daily the healing and the health and the life of God over your life and over your loved ones and over your family. It's a covenant name, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, which means God my healer. God my healer. Healer. Now, I'm a great believer in the medical industry. I'm a great believer in doctors and specialists, and I go to them absolutely whenever there's a need. But go to God first. Go to God first and keep going to God while you're going to the professionals. Keep going to God while you're going to the specialists. They have a gift to heal, and God also has a gift to heal. And work together with both of them and pray to God to be your healer. Now, when it says he restores my soul, that word restore, it means to make well, to make whole, to bring something back to its original design and original origin and original intent. In other words, God wants to restore everything the devil's done to you, all the damage, all the destruction, everything he's destroyed. God wants to make it right, make it good, and to restore and rebuild. He wants to renovate, which is what he's doing. You're under renovation right now, to renovate your world back to what it should be. Everything that sin has done in you and damaged in you, God wants to restore it to originality. Emotionally, physically. See, we think healing is just physical. It's not. We need emotional healing. We need physical healing. We need spiritual healing. We need social healing. We need all kinds of healing. God heals hurts. He heals homes. He heals disease. He heals dysfunction. He heals lives, and he heals hearts. And so we come to God and we pray, God, thank you for your healing today. Thank you, God, you're my healer today. Jehovah Rapha, God, my healer, you heal me from my past, my hurts, my brokenness, my dysfunction today, the diseases that come against me. I pray, heaven, open the windows of heaven over my heart and life, God, and bring healing and wholeness and health to my life today. God wants to restore us. He wants to restore us and lead us into full freedom. Peter, the apostle, says this in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, he himself, Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross of Calvary, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. By his wounds you have been healed. Notice the tense. You have been healed by his wounds. So God does so much more than just heal our bodies. He wants to heal our souls and he wants to heal our brokenness. And so when we pray to God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. The next covenant name is the Lord, my righteousness. The Lord, my righteousness. It says in verse 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's a covenant name. Hang on to your tongue when you say this one. Jehovah Tsidkenu. It's got a silent T. Jehovah Tsidkenu. It means God, my righteousness. God, my righteousness. Here's the thing with righteousness. Righteousness has a pathway. It has a pathway is what the Bible talks about. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. Anyone ever got on the wrong path? We do sometimes. We get on the wrong path. We take a wrong turn. We take a detour. We get distracted and our heart goes a wrong direction. The Bible calls us back onto the paths of righteousness, because sometimes we find ourselves in a bad place, a bad space, through bad choices, and the Bible teaches us to make the good choices, the right choices, to get in the right place and in the right space. And so God is not only my shepherd, he's not only my provider, he's not only my peace, he's not only my healer, but I pray that he is my righteousness. In other words, my rightness is all about him. He gives his righteousness to me. And so when you pray, pray every day. God, thank you. You're my righteousness. Thank you. You're the one that makes me right. You help keep me on the paths of righteousness. Because the reality is we keep messing up, but he makes us right through the precious blood of Jesus. Through the precious, this is what the Bible says, through the precious blood of Jesus. So here's the thought. Not only have you been made right, but all of your sins have been forgiven. All of your past, all of your present, all of your future sins have been forgiven, and under the precious blood of Jesus, even though we are unholy in a sense, he calls us holy and makes us holy because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. So all of your sins are forgiven. I think heaven needs a hand for that. All of your sins are forgiven. What a beautiful thing to know that you're forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus, that God himself is my righteousness and he's working righteousness into our lives to keep us on the path that leads to his absolute righteousness. Not only is he my righteousness, the next covenant name that you can pray over your world every day and over your life as you're traveling down the freeway. And this is a good one to pray as you're traveling down the freeway. Thank you, Lord. You're my constant companion. You're my constant companion. Verse 4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I go there, that worst place, the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's a covenant name, Jehovah Shema. It means God, the ever-present one. The ever-present God. The God that's always by your side. I've seen stickers on cars that say that God gets out once you go over 100 kilometres an hour. No, he doesn't. That's when he steps in. That's when you need him more than ever, when you're breaking the rules. You need him in the car. He's the ever-present. Don't try that one, though. He's the ever-present God. He's in the car when your wife drives. Thank you, Jesus. He's in the car when you drive. He's in the car when your kids drive. He's ever present. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You got to know this about God. He's always watching over you. Always watching over you. Jesus said it this way when he said to his disciples God said this in Hebrews 13. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. He's my helper. I will not be afraid. He is my constant companion and my helper. The next name is, he's my deliverer, my defender. He is my defender, the Lord my defender. What a great prayer this one is to pray every day. God, be my defender today. Be my defense today. Stand before my enemies today. Stand before my accusers today. Be the one that sets me free. It's in verse 5 where he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love this picture of God. It's like when people want to pick a fight with you, or the enemy wants to pick a fight with you. The thought here is, his name is Jehovah Nissi, God, my banner of victory. And so literally, when the enemy wants to pick a fight with you, God says, you go sit at the table and have something to eat. You just sit down and relax for a moment. I'm going to step in and take care of this. I'm going to take care of this for you because I'm your father. That's what fathers do. They take care of things. They step in. They get involved. They get in front of the enemy. They defend. I've been having some trouble at my property recently with a fox who's been coming and ate one of our prized chickens the other day. I become a fox hater overnight. And I'm looking for that fox. I'm going to catch that fox. I'm out there protecting my chickens. I mean, they're only chickens, for goodness sake. All they do is lay eggs. But the feeling and emotion of seeing your chicken taken by a fox stirs in the heart of anyone that thought of, I'm going to protect them. So every morning I hear my chickens cluck. I'm straight up out of bed. 5:30 in the morning, those chickens, they're clucking. And when there's a fox around, they all cluck together and they all look in the direction of the fox, like that. So I come out, I look on the veranda, and here's all the chickens clucking like crazy, looking that way. So I run out into the yard, not in the kind of attire I should be in. Let's just say minimalistic. That's why I live on property, Trent, surrounded by trees. Run out, because you don't have time to get dressed when there's a fox around. So I run out into the yard looking for a fox. The next day, I see the fox. Got up early, I saw him stalking around the chicken coop. And I thought, you're dead. I'm going to get you. So I bought a fox trap. Mick, I bought a fox trap that day. Haven't picked it up yet. It's in Bundaberg waiting for me. It's a big, solid, homemade steel fox trap. I'm going to catch that fox. I'm going to kill that fox. Why? Because that fox took my chicken. In a lot of ways, I see that as a picture of the heart of God in terms of defending. Just trying to justify my hatred of foxes right now. In that, you're not God's chicken, but you're his sheep. You're his sheep. The Bible says we have an enemy that prowls like a roaring lion around the coop of your life, just looking for the moment to devour you. The moment that God lets you out of the cage so he can get to you. And I just see the heart of God of a heart being one of, I want to protect that little sheep. I want to protect that little lamb. I'm not going to let him ravage them. I'm not going to let him get close. I'm not going to let him get anywhere near him. I'm going to set a trap for him. I'm going to catch him and I'm going to deal with him. Do you know God is your defender and you need defending? Some of us think we don't need defending. You think you can handle it and you're all that. Here's breaking news. You're not all that. Turn to your neighbor and say, no, you're not. You're not all that. You need God's help. You need him to be your defender. You need him to stand up for you. You need him to take charge for you. You need him to get involved for you. That's what we ask God to do. So in your prayer, it's okay to pray, God, be my defender. Stand before me. Though my enemies come against me, stand before me and protect me today. Be Jehovah Nissi, the God, my banner, and defend me. Paul says it this way in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. He says, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and he will protect you from the evil one. He will stand before you. He will get up early. He will do whatever he has to do to protect you. He is your defender. And when you pray that way, what you do is you encourage yourself and you remind yourself that God is defending me today. God is walking with me today. God is not leaving me to my own intelligence and devices and strength, but he will be the one that will defend me. The next and last covenant name that there is in Psalm 23 is in verse 5, where it says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over, and it's the Lord my sanctifier. The Lord my sanctifier. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. It's the covenant name Jehovah Makedesh. Jehovah Makedesh. And it means God has set me apart for something special. God has set you apart for something special. And what a great thing this is to pray over your life today. every day is to understand, God, you've set me apart today. Jehovah Makadesh, you've set me apart. You've marked me, you've anointed me for something special, and I want to walk in that, and I want to do that, and I want to fulfill that. Do you know what anointing means? Anointing doesn't mean you shake when someone prays for you. Anointing doesn't mean you fall down when someone prays for you. Anointing doesn't mean you have a certain sensation and a certain feeling. Anointing is not something you feel in a service. I hear people say, gee, the service is really anointed today. That's not anointing. What anointing is this. It means you've been marked by God. It means that there's been something placed on you for a purpose to fulfill the plan of God. Literally, like this word says, this name, Jehovah Makadesh, it means God has set you apart and anointed you for something special. Set you apart and anointed you for something special. He's anointed you to do what you do well. So it's not a feeling, it's a position. It's a position. You're anointed. Like the Bible speaks of officers. Officers that are anointed. Like a king, like a priest, like a minister or someone that serves in a certain capacity. They were anointed. They were set apart in the temple. Even the things that were used in the temple to serve, the plates and everything, they were all anointed as being special and used for the purposes of worshiping God. You're anointed today. I want to remind you this, and you've got to remind yourself every day and pray it. God, thank you, you've anointed me today. Thank you, you've anointed me today. Thank you, you've made me to do something special and to do something good, and I'm going to do what I do, and I'm going to do what I do to the very best of my ability. Why? Because you've anointed me. You've anointed me to do it today. 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says it this way. He says, but you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. God's special possession. That's who you are. That's who we are. He's speaking of the church. Chosen people. Royal priesthood. Holy nation. God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Can I have our team come to stage, please? Anointed. Anointed by God. Set apart, marked, and called to do something good. Where we live in that place where our cup runs over. Where our cup runs over. Meaning that not only do we enjoy it, but others enjoy it. Not only do we enjoy it, but others also live in the blessing of what we do. Where we make literally a difference in the lives of other people. And so when it comes to prayer, this model of praying the names of God, it's a model I've done for many years, learnt to do when I was in Bible college, just to pray the covenant promises, the covenant names of God over our lives. You can do it in 2 minutes. You can do it in 10 minutes. You can do it in an hour. You can do it on your way to work. You don't have to say Jehovah Jireh. You can just pray, God, you're my provider. You're my provider. And remember these things that God does for you, the promises that we pray. You're my shepherd. Thank you, you're my shepherd today. I'm your sheep. You're my shepherd. You watch over me. You provide for me, God. You give me everything that I need today. And so I pray for your provision, for my family, for my loved ones, my children. I pray for your provision for our church. And just pray for God to provide. Pray for peace. Pray, God, I'm going to be a peaceful soul today. Lead me in peace. Help me to lie down in pastures green beside still waters. To stop in the rush and take the moments to enjoy the beauty of who you are and the life that you've given me and the people that are around my world, and help me not to be a stress ball today. God, be my healer. Be my healer today, God. I need some healing to take place, my body, physically, over my mind and my emotions today. Heal me today, God. I look to you first. And so I pray first, God, for a miracle in my body. You can pray the righteousness of God. God, I thank you that I don't stand before you because of what I've done. I stand before you because of what Jesus Christ, your Son, has done. And his righteousness is my righteousness. And when you look at me, you don't see who I am. You see who he is. And I thank you today that I'm right because of everything good and perfect that Jesus did when he went to the cross of Calvary. And then you can pray about the ever-present God. Thank you, God, you're with me. Thank you, God, I'm not alone. I mightn't be able to see you, but I know you're here. I know you're here. I see your fingerprints on every door I walk through. I see you open the way for me. I see you make a way when there is no way. And I thank you, you are the God that never deserts and will never leave me. I shall never be orphaned by your presence. And then pray about the fact that God is your banner of victory. He's the one that's going to stand before you. He's the one that's going to defend you. He's the one that's going to fight your fights. He's the one that's going to take up the cause. He's the one that's going to protect you. He's the one that's going to watch over everything that concerns your world and everything that concerns your life. And so to pray that promise of the defense of God. And then finally, to pray, God, thank you that you've set me apart to do something good. You put me on this planet to be someone and do something. To be someone and to do something, and I'm going to do it. And help me to recognize I'm anointed and to be confident in that. Not to be insecure in who I am, and not to be insecure in what I do, but I'll be secure today because, God, I understand today this is what you've called me to do, and I'll be anointed in this. And when you pray that way, and you live that way, and you walk that way, I think the last part of verse 6 is your promise. And it's this: surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Would you please stand with me today? So hallowed be thy name is our prayer. To come before God on a daily basis, to his name, to his nature, to his character. To learn to pray the promises of God, not the problems of life. We've all got our stresses, our problems, our issues, our circumstances. We talk to God, not only about that, but we talk to God about the promises of what he wants to bring into our lives. It's a great name. It's a name above every name. The name of Jesus. We're going to sing this anthem of praise right now. Why don't you take a God moment just to lift up your hands and worship God as we sing together, declaring the greatness of his name over our circumstances and situations today. Prayer is a very natural thing for you to do. Enjoy doing it. Delight in doing it. God will give you the desires of your heart. God bless you.
Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven,
we call on your name,
lead us not into temptation, for God deliver us from the enemy. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
Today you don't answer our prayers according to who we are, but according to who you are today. We thank you that you're a God that hears our prayer. You're a God that answers prayer. Teach us to pray is what I pray. Teach us to have real conversation, real connection and intimacy with the heart of heaven. Help us to understand how natural it is and how normal it is. It's not about the length of time, it's about the connection of heart. Teach us to pray first before everything that we do, before every big decision that we make. Teach us to pray and have heaven speak back to us is what I pray. Teach us to pray the promises of God, not the things that are taking place around our world at the moment. We don't want to highlight the problem. We want to promote the power and the presence of a God who hears and answers prayer. Thank you. You are my shepherd. You're my shepherd today. And I have everything I need because you know me. And I know you. You're my ever-present God. You're my righteousness. You're my defender. You're my healer. You are my constant companion today. And Father, we rejoice in all of these beautiful promises. Teach us to pray it over our world and over our lives and see the breakthrough of God that comes into the heart of a man and a woman and a person when they pray. When a believing person prays, great things happen. And that's who we are. We are those believing people. And so we expect great things to happen. Father, I pray today for people in this room that need health and healing and wholeness today. Be Jehovah Rapha for them is what I pray today. In the name of Jesus. For people that need you to provide today. People that are looking for jobs and new jobs and careers and opportunity. Open the doors. Open the way. Make a way where there is no way. Bring favor to them, I pray, today in Jesus' name. Father, whatever our need, you are the answer. And so that's why we want to learn and we need to pray first about everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being in church with us today. Don't forget to sign up at the Connect table at the back for the Circle Maker program and to be involved in a Connect group. If you're not involved in a Connect group, go there, sign up. If you're a new person today, if you join us in the Connect Lounge, it'll be our privilege to host you, get to know you, share some food. That's a great coffee. Cafe is open today. God bless you and enjoy a great time of fellowship together. Thank you.